He's got.
All right. Well, then let's stand and begin our service. It's going to be a wonderful service of the kids sharing some things that they learned this week, and it's just going to be great. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you have brought us together. Thank you for this past week of the children, and especially all of workers and the helpers. Just thank you so much for that. Just be with us this morning and help us to focus on you and focus on you alone, because you are the one that we have come here this morning to worship. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Time, if we can get our kids to come forward and have you kind of have a seat right up here. Churches, as you guys know, we finished our VBS this week. It was very exciting and thrilling and tiring. You know, and one of the things that we had this year that was amazing, outside of the adults who continued to show up every day, we had teenagers who showed up that believe in beauty sleep and willingly gave that up to come and hang out with us, chase some of these kids around. It was a great time. But one of the things we did with the kids is we had rockets, didn't we? I decided that the best option for a space theme would be to build rockets and then to launch these rockets off, right? I was advised not to shoot this one off. It goes about a mile in the air, and there's too many planes around, and the wind was blowing too much. I was advised by some wise people not to shoot this one. So I didn't. So I decided to do this one instead. Well, you guys saw some of these go off, and some of you guys sitting in the stands, some of these went off, and some of them went really high, didn't they? Did really well. Some of them didn't go so high, like this one. This one I built, again, when I was at work over the week, and it was supposed to go, you know, I don't know, 1,300 feet in the air. It made it 30 feet, and then blew up. So, but you know what, guys? It was interesting because we learned a verse over the entire week, right? And our verse was, glory to God, who is able to do far beyond anything we could ask for or imagine by his power within us. And so we learned that these rockets are just models on the ground. But as soon as you put the engine inside of it, and as soon as you hook it up to electricity, and as soon as a little kid like me gets to push the button, it shoots off. But it doesn't shoot off without the power inside of it. And just like with us, and when we have God inside of us, when we allow his power to work in us, we can be bold like Daniel in the lion's den. We can be faithful like Esther. We can be thankful like the lepers. And we can have this power inside of us because of God. And so this week, I hope you guys remember that even though my rockets blew up and some of them didn't work very well, that it's because of God who's in you that you guys can do amazing things. You guys can do anything far beyond you can think of or ask. So one of the things we get to do is we get to lead our church. So if you guys will stand with us. Church, if you will stand with us as well, our students, kids, children, little ones, they get to lead us in our affirmation of faith. This is a time where our kids get to lead us in our statements of what we believe in and what we hold dear. So if you will, church, join with us, children. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Down, if those that helped with Vacation Bible School would continue to stand and everybody else can have a seat. So if you help with Vacation Bible School, thank you very much. We so appreciate all your hard work, and it was a great week. And the kids would like to share a couple of songs that we worked on this week. If you are a youth person or even a worker that would like to come up and help us this morning, that would be great. And we're going to share two of the songs that we learned. So kids, you have to stand up, sing, and have a good time. Remember, we talked about this.
Oh,
I'm going to follow Ms. Jennifer out of here. We're going to head off to Children's Church, where they're going to do some more dancing and singing and eating and snacks. And
So, when I was watching the kids, what joy they brought to my heart. I mean, just to watch them sing and stomp and everything. But what really got me excited is seeing Carol dancing in the altar area. You won't see that very often, but I'm just kidding. Hey, this is the time of our service where we take a little bit of a break and greet each other in the name of the Lord, and then we'll go right into our music, and you kind of know the routine. If you see a visitor out there with us, be sure to extend your hand and offer some friendly greetings. All right, let us begin.
As we continue in worship. Psalms 40, verse 5 says, O Lord my God, you have done many miracles for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. Let's join together as we sing God of Wonders, and you may have a seat. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Majesty. to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
Move to our time of service where we have our prayer moments, and I'm just going to update you on a few folks before we go into that time together. So Earl continues to be in rehab over at Baylor, and so he's in good spirits as always, but you know, obviously we want to keep he and Diana in our prayers, because I'm sure there's a lot of stress going on with their move and so forth, and his time in the rehabilitation facility. Also, I want to let you know that Dennis Pruitt was admitted to the hospital in Rowlett. I guess it's called the Baylor Hospital in Rowlett. And he is still in there this morning. And we want to keep our prayers for Dennis. He would appreciate that, of course. Now, I'm going to ask for prayers for this one person who told me not to reveal her name. But this person, I think, needs our prayers. And that's our beloved Joyce. She's always walking in the hallway. She's not here today, and she's struggling with something. So I'll let you that know her well give her a call and offer whatever support you can offer her, but she definitely needs our prayers. All right, I would give you more information, but that's all I have right now, and of course some information until families release me to be able to speak freely. I'm just not able to do that, but you know, most of you know everybody else. You know more than I do. And just support each other and love each other as you can. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the great comforter. And when the world around us turns cold, we feel you wrapping us up with your love. Our lives are tied to yours, knotted together and unbreakable. So for your continual presence of grace, we are forever thankful. We seek to lead a life worthy of you. However, we know that at times we had fallen short of your expectations. Some of us do not know ourselves or our neighbors well enough to do what you ask, and so we drift away. Confessingly, we are capable of great evil, both in what we do and what we do not do. But thanks to you, we have hope, because we are also capable of great things. So teach us that we cannot love you, ourselves, or our neighbors from afar. We must draw close to others as we have drawn close to you. So Lord, show us to be worthy of you. You who mix the colors we see and author the words we speak, reveal yourself to us this morning and open our hearts and minds to receive your word and inspire us through your Holy Spirit and guide us to do what is right. We offer this prayer and our prayers of intercession for those who suffer and those who could not be here. We offer the names of those individuals to you, O God, eternal in the heavens, the Most High. We offer our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 is our verse for today. But first, I wanted to tell you something that I was thinking about when I was laying in the ICU at El Paso. Doctor came in, and he said, well, it looks like things have settled down a lot. And I said, yeah, I'm not surprised at all. He said, but I still have a few concerns. I said, well, I don't. I'm regretting ever coming in here. And he said, well, I'm glad that you came. And I said, why? Is the payment due on your boat? Maybe that's why he didn't come to see me anymore. But while I was there, I got to thinking about a lot of things. I was never the tiniest bit afraid. There was no fear. There was no real concern. But I thought a lot about if this were the end, if this was the way out, what do I leave behind? And I thought about how I would have left behind a church that I loved dearly. I love every one of you. I appreciate you, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the love that we have in this place. I would have been happy to have said, yeah, I was a part of this. I love my family. I feel so blessed to be a part of them. I'm so proud of my family and my children. Most of all, I am ready whenever, because I know it's all in his hands, it's all according to his timing, and when he gets done with me here, I'm ready to go. So our verse today is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. This is where Paul is. He begins Colossians with a greeting in his letter, and he goes through the usual Paul-type things that he says. And then he's talking about the magnificence of Christ. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth are created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, and all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love that part. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come into have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. These are the words of our Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. I know God has plans for you in the near future, because you're going to be preaching for me a couple of Sundays. So hang around at least to that time. Our prayers are always with you, Ben. We love you, of course. Thank you for your testimony. Sermon. Sorry, left it back here. So today's lesson, You know, I follow the lectionary, as many of you know. And if you're not familiar with the lectionary, it's the suggested reading for each Sunday from the Old Testament, the Epistle, one of the letters, and also from the Gospel. And so we as clergy have an opportunity to just kind of select which we'd like to talk about. So this time I thought I'd talk about this this letter to the Colossians. It's heavy theologically, as you may have noticed. And so it made me wonder, why am I reading this? I mean, what was Paul trying to tell us when he made this statement that we read earlier today? So hopefully we'll get into that. This sermon's not going to be for everyone. I think some of you may be praying for me before the sermon's over. And but I'll try to keep you entertained enough to be alert, okay? So how many of you are familiar with Dan Abrams? Anybody? Oh, my wife. It's a couple of people. Well, Dan Abrams has this radio program on XM Radio that I listen to sometimes if I'm driving to visit somebody or go to the hospital or something. It comes on early afternoon. It's just for about an hour. And his show always centers on the topic of the day. It's typically a political topic. And so I am intrigued by politics, like many of you are. So if you're not familiar with his name, maybe you're familiar of him from the TV show Live PD. If you've seen Live PD, which comes on in the evenings, it always features him as the person that's coordinating the program. However, he's also an attorney, and he's the legal analyst for ABC News. So he's got his hand in a variety of projects, a radio program, a TV program, and also a consultant. So I find his personality to be quite different on the radio as compared to the TV. And the TV, he looks, you know, nice, you know, like you can approach him and so forth. But on the radio, he is far more aggressive with some of his callers. He is not afraid of dinging any politician who makes false or embellished claims, particularly if it involves legal matters, because that's his arena, that's his lane. What I like about him is the ability to set aside callers who offer an opinion on the issue but have no reference or evidence to stand on. These are just people who just call in, right? So, in other words, you're not going to believe this, but there are some people who call into the program who just believe they know everything about everything. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that people just make up stuff, things that they have heard? And can you imagine that people would just accept whatever emails or postings they read on social media? Oh, yeah, this is the gospel truth. Can you imagine that there are some people who actually absorb gossip and like to participate in gossip? I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. It's true. Well, one of the things I like about Dan Abrams, as with other talk show hosts, is for him, it's all about facts, as he proudly proclaims on the show. He's just interested in facts and the law, and everything else for him is out of his lane, and he would say that. So you will often hear him tell the caller, "Where'd you get that information?" Right? And of course, that always leads to, you know, silent air, or how do you know this to be true? And because, to see, hearsay to him is not acceptable, neither are generalizations. So he'll proceed to correct any misunderstandings regarding the subject matter of the day. I'm certain that he makes some people upset just on the brief times that I listen to him on the radio, because nobody likes to be called out. But there's something important here about the information that he gives out. So he validates that before he gives out that information. So how does he do that? Well, you know, radio programs will use the services of interns, and they're on computers. And so when you have a live radio program, it's delayed a few seconds, of course, in case somebody cusses on air. But when you have a live radio program, somebody may call in and said, "Well, tell us, you know, our position with Iran or whatever. And where are we with that?" And so when that question comes in, his interns are, they're just looking, "Iran, Iran, Iran." And they can get information like that, and which they could feed to the radio host, who can feed it out to the public. And so It's just all a matter of seconds. It makes everyone look very smart, but everybody seems to rely on the computer. Well, as with the rest of modern society, all kinds of information is readily, easily accessible. You know, in the days of old, as some of you may remember, the way to keep on top of everything was to order this endless number of books from Encyclopedia Britannia, right? And many of us have had a hard time throwing those away. You'll see them in a state sale, and everybody kind of goes, oh, yeah, right. Just kind of walks past those encyclopedia books. Why is that? You know, and I noticed when I was going to school, I went to school forever because it took me a long time. At the beginning, all these professors, you know, took pride that their shelves were full of books, right? I noticed in my office, it's kind of, what are all these bookshelves? What am I going to do with all these bookshelves? And now to professors, if you go in their office, there may be a few books, but it's all about the computer. Because everything is accessible by the computer. Things change. I get that. So while this access of information may seem favorable to us as a society, it can also present some real challenges for those who adhere to the Christian faith, or those who belong to a faith or profess a faith. Because you see, all this access to information causes us to question everything. Everything. And what happens is that pathway can lead us to not believe in anything, right? I mean, we question everything, and that's good to a certain point, but when it starts to affect our beliefs in God, that's where there's an issue. So where's the proof, as many have asked in today's world? Where is the proof of God? Where is the proof of Jesus? So Christians throughout the generations have had to struggle in order to counter the world's enlightenment eras of time. You're familiar with enlightenment eras of time. This is where humans feel as though they've really made some accomplishments. It's all about humans and humanity and the contributions they have made to the world. So let's kind of review a few of those eras, enlightenment, those eras of time. So there's the Renaissance Age. Right? There's a Renaissance Age which seemed to excel art and culture, flourished during that period. There's the Age of Reason, or the Enlightenment Era, as some people would say. Or there's the Industrial Revolution, when, you know, when machinery just came into the forefront, and it endured over a couple of centuries. And then there's the Victorian Era, where the British Empire became the largest empire in history by its imperial goal of expanding colonies throughout the world. Right? There's the Atomic Age, which began right after World War II. Some call it the Space Age. Perhaps you are familiar that this past week was the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk. We've been seeing that. If you turned on the TV, you can't help but seeing that. Some people say that was the greatest achievement of humanity ever in the history of the globe. Some people would say that. And today we live in what we call the Information Age, which began roughly around 1975 and continues on in the present. It's an appropriate name for this age because we essentially live in order to have more information. The more information we have, the better. And it can be almost addictive as we dig deeper and deeper into subject matters. Well, Paul had to deal with this issue during his day. Many people, particularly the Gentile regions, question the existence of a single God, much less the Son of a God. See what I'm saying? Most cultures at that time, during Paul's days, believed in multiple gods. And if you've ever been over to the Middle East and toured some of the museums, you would be like overwhelmed by how many gods there are, right? So Paul had to deal with this issue, and he writes his letter to the church in the market town of Colossae, which, by the way, is located in what is now known as Turkey. He is writing in response to a word that he received from a colleague named Epaphras, and that's noted in verse 7, who was another disciple. So as we read this lesson, as I was reading it earlier this week, it sounded very familiar to a creed. You ever thought about that? I don't know if you were paying close attention to what Ben was saying when he was reading the scripture, but it look at it again at some time, and you'll see it's very much like a creed, like our Apostles' Creed that we say each Sunday here that the kids lead us in. So I suspect that these passages were used in a church setting probably every time they worshiped, as a kind of a way to remind the people of what was important, where our focus should be, or where their focus should be. So why is today's reading important? Why did Paul highlight a creed in his letter to the Colossians? Well, research tells us that the church of Colossae was undergoing a potential threat of being torn apart due to the increased questioning of the divinity of Jesus. They're having this discussion in church during these early years when Christianity was still in its infancy, because there is a form of religious beliefs called Gnosticism that some of you may have studied about, that was growing in popularity at the time. And Gnosticism comes from the word gnosis, meaning knowledge. It was a form of thinking that mixed mythology with Greek philosophy and in order to explain things, explain life matters. The alarming aspect of this type of thinking was that followers of Gnosticism believed that the pathway to salvation was through knowledge, not faith. Knowledge, not faith. And this is where Paul had to intercede. Right? Paul counters this position by noting in the following chapter, chapter 2, verse 8, "See to it that none of you takes captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, and not according to Christ." Makes sense. That chapter makes sense. This whole letter makes sense when you think about the intent behind what Paul was trying to do. So he challenges his readers, Paul challenges his readers to look to Christ by having a deep relationship with, or to validate Christ by having a deep relationship with the Lord. Experience, therefore, became the convincing factor of effectiveness of the faith, not intellectual contemplations. See the difference? Experience, as opposed to just thinking it through, trying to reason it out. Meaning that Christians did not have to theorize about the faith because they knew within their hearts that God and Christ was real to them. Their experience of God's love through Christ was all the evidence they needed in order to validate the divinity of Jesus. There's this German theologian, I love to say his name because it's the only German I know, Friedrich Schleiermacher. All right, I love saying that. Friedrich Schleiermacher. And he became noted for offering his insight during the time when he was living, and that was during the Enlightenment era, the 19th century. And he noticed that the Enlightenment era was sapping all the energy of the Christian faith. People were pulling away. Many were questioning the validity of the faith. God was seen as a distant creator, worse, a non-existing fairy tale. The Bible was nothing more than a historical document at best, maybe some philosophical writings. So Christianity during the Enlightenment era had quickly become marginalized. That continues to be hold true in many European countries, where the faith is just not where it used to be because of the Enlightenment era of recent centuries. So Schleiermacher, as with Paul, countered the arguments against God by pointing to the presence and power of Jesus. So while he concurred that there was no way to actually prove God's presence through intellectual discussion, historical research, or by the way of reason, he was convinced that Christ could be experienced on a very personal level which would make him real to those who were faithful. Much in the same way that we could say today that yes, we have a relationship with Christ, we just can't logically prove it. But it's there. You know it's there. You wouldn't be here if you didn't know that Christ was real. We have felt empowered. We have felt his love. We have felt his forgiveness. We have been healed. We have been instructed and led by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have felt God's presence in our lives. That's all the evidence that we need. That's all the evidence that we need. So Schleiermacher's position actually caught fire with the generation of his time, and what it did is it led to a revival of the Christian church, because the focus became, focus was more on the worship services and feeling the Holy Spirit presence, just like we were dancing this morning, and just validating to ourselves that God is real. God is real. So, saying that, if I were to call on the Dan Abram show this week, I couldn't talk about matters of the faith from an attorney's point of view, because he would ask me, where do you get that information? How can you prove it? Where's your evidence? And I wouldn't have any evidence except if I could just offer my testimony. No proof, with real, nevertheless, at least for me. Testimony like Ben gave this morning. God is real to Ben. We sense that. Can he prove? Can you prove there's a God? You can't prove it, but you can feel it, and you believe it, right? My friends, today's takeaway message is that our personal experiences and witness not only can revive our hearts, but can revive the hearts of those whom we encounter, even during these difficult days known as the information age. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is all the proof that we need. Amen. All right, for those of you who are praying for me, just go ahead and just get back up. Sermon's over. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers. All right, this is the time where we have our offering, so let's prepare for that moment.
Let's pray. Father, this time we come to you offering prayers of thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, that you are exactly who you claim to be. We thank you that in your Son there is nothing missing. There's nothing that we have to go do, nothing that we have to obtain, nothing that we have to accomplish in addition to the cross. For in you we find completeness. We find in you every opportunity that we need to speak your name. We find in you every opportunity to be your son to somebody. And in this time that we've set aside, we find the opportunity to give back. And Lord, we pray that this offering will be sufficient to the work that you've given this church here in this community and around the world. And we pray it in Jesus' name.
Wow, that was awesome. That was awesome. Woo. Eric, you're showing off now. You're just showing off. What talent. Whoa, we're so blessed. Oh, what a great Sunday we've had today, right? What a great Sunday. As always, before we go into our next song, I'm just going to offer that invitation if you'd like to know more about the church. Feel so moved. Holy Spirit's moving in your heart in some way. We welcome you to the altar area. Or you can just give me a call or text or whatever you need to do to communicate with me, and I'd be glad to talk to you as well. So let's continue on with our service.
Let's stand as we join together and sing that wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
Thank you for being a part of our service today. I'm sure you're going to walk away feeling very blessed, as I feel blessed this morning. I saw someone come up to the prayer area, and it made me think about a prayer request, and that's Charles's mother, I understand, had a hard fall this past week, and they just took her out of, I guess, a hospital setting here yesterday. Was it yesterday, John? So we are grateful that she is better, though it's kind of scary. Remember, anytime you have a fall, especially as you get older, you have to worry about other issues involving the brain. So let's keep Chelsea and her mother in our prayers as we go through the week. And now, my friends, if you'll receive this benediction from Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those who he redeemed from trouble, and let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works. May God's grace lead you to be a witness of his glory to all creation. Go now in peace. Amen. All right, we have our sending song, which is Awesome God. So join hands with your neighbor and let us sing together.